The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on the 6th day of February, 2023. And tonight our producer is none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And way out yonder in Missouri, we have none other than the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
And I'm here, ready to go to work, and boy, do we have a load ahead of us.
Well, this is why we're going to pray right now, because the enemy definitely does not want us to bring what we're going to bring to the people tonight, And that's why it's always us that gets taken down, because they don't like our message. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you tonight, Lord, again, Lord, we would ask that you would keep us from the prince of the power of the airwaves tonight, Lord, the darkness. Lord, let your truth, your whole truth, and nothing but your truth reach the hearts and the minds of the people tonight, Lord, that they would be those who will not perish for lack of knowledge, but that they, Lord, would be enlightened and understand what is coming their way and how to prepare for it and be edified and ready to fight the fight. And, and these things we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Joe, I get tired of people who always, telling you all the reasons why, we're gonna lose. And sometimes I get a little sarcastic and, go off on it, because they'll say, well, they start complaining, they're everywhere. We've already lost. I mean, they're in charge. You can't beat them. They've gotten into everything, and the education they talk about, NOWACA and Planned Parenthood. And so I get a little sarcastic in the sense, yeah, who cares? I don't care if we win or lose. I just love the fight. I just want to go out there and make them miserable like they're doing. Who cares? We don't have a chance, In other words, I turn it around on them, okay? And when you do that, the doomsayers stop and they get a strange look, and they look at you with a strange like, huh? And so I kind of get a little bit of a charge out of doing that. Anyhow.
Well, we need to remind everybody that it is an opportunity for the believers, for the children of God, for the real church to stand up and lay up some crowns and treasures in heaven. It's an opportunity. We were made for a time such as this. And instead of looking at it, with fear or intimidation, this is our chance to go out and show our faith.
Absolutely.
And, if you're afraid, it means you have no faith. If you think that it's hopeless, it means one of two things. You don't believe that God can turn it around. And it's his will, and if, he wants to, it can be turned around. And it's up to him, not us. He just tells us to be obedient, and that's what we're supposed to do, right?
Absolutely. The one thing...
He says the victory will be his, not ours.
The one thing, more than any other thing, in God's word, the Bible, that God demands is obedience. That's the one thing. And from Genesis to Revelation, he demands that resistance to tyranny is always obedience. Resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience. And so let's get started tonight. The title of the message, as you know, is A Counterfeit World and the Counterfeit Word. A Counterfeit World and the Counterfeit Word. And so here we're going to start in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Luke 8, verses 4 through 15. So go ahead, Joe, and go ahead and read, starting with verse 4.
All right. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And the other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, for which a while believe, and then in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience.
Alrighty. So we go back, and when we look at all of these, and we go back to verse 10. And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing that they might not understand. I thought the Bible taught that God didn't want any to come short of the glory, that he wanted all. It was his will that all could make it to heaven. So why do you think
true.
He did
it's
this?
It's his will, but he forces no one. And you can tell people the truth, and they will look at you, yawn, and walk away. There are some that no matter what evidence of a truth you present, they are going to believe what they want to believe. And so it's God gives everyone a choice. God sends no one to hell. You send yourself there.
All right, but there's another thing to that point. What he's making here, and to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, seeing that they might not see, and hearing that they might not understand. So he's making a point that he knows that they're going to reject his word. So let me ask you this. Is it more merciful for them if they reject his word, not understanding, not having a real understanding of what they're rejecting? Is it more merciful than if they understood what they were doing and rejected his word? What would be more merciful?
Well, it would be more merciful if they were ignorant.
Right, so the Lord is completely merciful, isn't he?
Yes, he is, and that's, well, he also used parables to help reach people, so there's two or three things going on here at once. Sometimes a parable helps somebody that was simple see a truth, and other times here he's teaching even though many of those that hear the parable will not see or will not understand. So it can go both ways, can't it?
Well, yeah, but see, he understood that they didn't have an honest and a good heart. These people did not have an honest and a good heart. If you go to verse 15,
right.
But that on those the good ground
the
are
verse,
they,
that's what I was getting,
which
I was
have an honest and a good heart.
Because often if you don't understand something, you read a little farther in Scripture, and there is the answer, right?
Right. Let's go back to verse 12. But by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved.
Be saved.
Let me ask you this. Do you know how many words out of the Bible the NIV version or perversion of the Bible has removed from the King James Bible?
A lot more than you'd think. I know one time I've read it, knew it, but I don't remember it.
How about 64,576 words they have taken out of the Word of God?
That's just almost unbelievable. You could take that many words out. You forget how many words are in the Bible. That is a tremendous.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do a little commentary now and probably repeat this commentary tomorrow night before we get all the way into all the Scripture. But so sit back and let me go. From the moment of our birth, we're thrown into an ocean of false circumstances. Those of us that are biblically literate know all too well the dangers of being unprepared to navigate the waters of truth versus the crooked path of woke and political correctness of today. Even as preschool children are subjected to the indoctrination into the abominable world of LGBTQ and pedophilia, often by means of esoteric messages that unsuspecting parents are oblivious to. This is often accomplished by cartoons and children's stories. Yeah, I want to stop here for a second. One that comes to mind was The Lion King. When The Lion King came out, I was, you know, my son was young, and we were watching that, and whoa, it hit me what they did in this part when the little baby lion, when he was thrust out into the wilderness. Here he comes across a wild boar, a wild pig, and some other strange thing. And it was obvious that these two were engaged in an effeminate or homosexual lifestyle. And so that was made. I mean, they really had to work at that. And so I thought I was the first one to discover that at first when I saw it. Then I read a lot of commentary from people who were picking up on this and advising people to not to take the kids to watch that. You know, I wish I had known prior. Now, the government-run so-called education system has been taken over by globalists and communists. Those people believe that the state, not the parents, should decide the future of our children. Since 1962, when an extremely corrupt court expelled God from our public education system and replaced him with cultural Marxism, America has gone from number one in the world scholastically to 40-something. I think it's 46 in the world. And this counterfeit education system, it's not an education, it's an indoctrination system. So the so-called mainstream media is nothing more than a confederacy of six major corporations that are in lockstep with a globalist elite. There are no longer journalists that report the news, but talking heads that spin the lies in the echo chambers and then call it the narrative. Fair and balanced, Brett Baer, they and you are not. The AMA, the FDA, the CDC are no longer in any respect considered to be legitimate government agencies. They are now simply the whores and the property of Big Pharma and the Department of Defense. the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA. All of these, by the way, the Department of Defense has been become totally corrupted. It's being run now by drag queens. It's literally being run by drag queens. The FBI, the CIA, and the NSA are no longer legitimate intelligence agencies, but are simply branches of the globalist communist collective. They have all been weaponized against patriotic, true Christian America. Today, most professing Christians are not possessing of salvation. They're not Christians at all, those that are professing. Most churches are really 501c3 corporations. Most pastors out there today are hirelings. And today there are over 200 counterfeit versions of the Bible. And we're going to start tonight with this by going to 1 Timothy chapter 3. So let's go, Joe, to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and read me verses, well, let me see, in 1 Timothy 3, I believe it would
14
be...
14 through 16, I think.
I believe it would be, but let me get there and make sure. Yeah, 14 through 16.
These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Alrighty. Verse 15, that if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and the ground of truth. Well, that is a whole sermon, and that one verse there's a whole sermon today as far as how to behave yourself. When you're over the target and you're preaching the gospel, the enemy will attack, okay? And so today, you have, with all of the news out there, a lot of times people within the body of Christ, they get anxious. They get very anxious. And when we do, and I know I teach a Bible study, in fact, three of them, what happens is sometimes people get anxious and somebody may make a comment because I throw questions out as I'm teaching. I throw questions out and someone may answer that and someone else may not like their answer and disagree. The church is not a place to argue. The church is not a place to argue. And what happens when things like when you're always under attack and sometimes people get anxious, things go bad, they get angry, and sometimes it's a righteous indignation. Other times it's not. It's just out of fear. And the house of God is not a place to argue. It's not. And of course, you know, church polity covers a lot of area in there. We've had people that have come into our church the first time. And they brought with them one of the New Age perversions of the Bible. A lot of times people just don't realize there's certain things that in the house of God, men are not to cover their heads, not to wear a hat during the church service. Men are not to cover their heads. Women can. They can have a head covering. But, you know, this is just church polity. There's a number of things that we teach on that it's simply how to, you know, be polite in the house of the Lord. And so here, and then when he says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on the word and received up to glory. Now, that verse there is the clearest, Joe, the clearest verse in the Bible declaring that Jesus Christ was God. Because could that verse apply to anyone other than Christ himself?
No, it can't. It could only be to Christ. I was looking carefully. Nope, there's no way you could think of anybody else.
So if you picked up something that's called a Bible and you read in there, and it's not referring to him, it's not referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. If they take the word God out, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest. If they remove that, and they simply say that he appeared in the flesh. Now, you know what? Yesterday, when I was preaching his message, I asked, how many men in here are he's? How many are you or he's? And they all raised their hand. And I says, how many are here today in the flesh? And they all raised their hand. And so that verse could apply to all of them. But the NIV has removed the word God. They removed the word God.
Did they even capitalize the word he? I can't remember.
Yeah. And so without controversy, great. And so they've removed God, and they've simply placed it with he came in the flesh, which could apply to a whole lot of people, huh?
Yeah. I came in the flesh. At least that's what my mother said.
Yeah.
And, I've got some pictures that I've seen, but, you know, that's as close as I come to verifying.
I mean, you're there right now, tonight, in the flesh. Do you think if you had the chance,
sure
you could...
Sure, yep.
If you had the chance, could you trade it in for some younger flesh? We will have...
I'm going to let that happen. He's got a glorified body waiting for me. I've just got to be a little patient.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, how about, let's go over to Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians in chapter 2, let us go to verse 6. And let me get there. Philippians 2, verse 6. Well, actually, we probably should read verse 5 and 6.
Okay. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God.
Okay, so it says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So when we take a look at the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, and by the way, we're triune beings. We were made in the likeness, the image and the likeness of God. And so when we take a look at that, the Trinity.
So if we were, that means Christ definitely was made in the image and likeness of God, right? Because he was made in the flesh, and he looked like us.
Well,
so you put those two together, right?
Well, and that's right. In Colossians, it says the fullness of the Godhead was found in him. The fullness, in other words, when it was asked, when will we see the Father? He told him, when you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. Now here, but here it is, Joe. The NIV has changed that to did not consider equality with God something to be used. Could not, and so here it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal. So when you have the Trinity in deity, they're all equal. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost were all there from the beginning, equal in their deity. Now, there's a pecking order from Genesis to Revelation. God the Father gives the marching orders. God the Son always carries them out. And the Holy Ghost always provides the power. But in deity, now, he's made us. We're after the Trinity, we're body, soul, and spirit. And the family... The father is the head of the house, okay, and the wife is, and the children are subjected to the father, and the children are subjected to their, in subjection to the father and the mother.
Mother, yeah.
Okay, so here's what the NIV has changed it to. Did not consider equality with God something to be used. And a number of the New Age versions have used that. They've changed it.
To not to be used. In other words, he's not to use that. That is totally the opposite of Scripture.
Exactly.
It's saying Jesus is not God.
So what has it done? It perverted his deity, doesn't it?
It perverts it. If he's not God, then he could not be risen to sit on the right hand and be given all power in heaven and earth by the Father. So,
okay, we got it.
The Bible was wrong.
We got to stop right there. We're going to pick it up tomorrow in Luke chapter 2, okay? So we'll pick it up. We'll be back right after this.
The pilgrims heard the sovereign words of God on the European shores, then rose to flee the persecuting powers that held England in her throes. In sailing ships they crossed the oceans wide to the land our God bestowed, to plant the seed of Christian liberty, so that all the world would know their blessings in the wilderness increased with prosperity and health. But the ancient powers that ruled the earth grew lustfully jealous of her wealth, and sent the British armies to make war with his sons of liberty, who placed their faith in God and by his grace fought and won the victory and proclaimed themselves, "We the people, United States of America, shall be faithful and establish rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny. In our nation's history, as the ancient banking powers that rule this earth tries to steal our sovereignty, and now this new world order marches in to make war within our land, and once again, Americans, it's time to rise up and take a stand and declare ourselves, we the people of the United States of America shall be faithful and restore our rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny.
We, the people of the United States of America. Folks, I got a couple of announcements. So you folks who get the newsletter, in the newsletter, those six radio programs that we had to go off in those six states, the amount of money that will take to get back on the station will be in that next newsletter. So as it gets to you, look it up. And some of you, it would not be, it's not that hard. It wouldn't be that much I could get back on some of the stations. It wouldn't take too many donations to do that. Others, it would take quite a bit more. But anyhow, if you don't get the newsletter, you really should get the newsletter. And so tell them how they can get the newsletter, Joe.
Do is write to us at WRWL Ministries. The address is 14781 Sperry Road, Sperry Road, the city of Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. And be sure, name and address, and even include your phone number just in case your writing isn't clear. Sometimes things are smudged or we're not sure what a letter or word is. So, and just ask, please be, you know, to be, please be put on the newsletter list.
All right, very good.
Put me on the newsletter list, and we will do it.
It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. No. Or you can
email. Like I do. When I get my copy, I go to my copy machine, and I run off a bunch of copies and hand out at church, hand out to family, friends. You know, you can hand out to people at work, and, you know, that will help reach lots of people and save money.
Yeah, many people are just going up on, they're just emailing us and giving us their name and address and everything and asking us to send it to them, and we do that too. If you just go to WRWL.org, and our email is WRWLMinistries@gmail.com. That's our email is WRWLMinistries@gmail.com. You can just go up and you can just email us, or you can call 440-338-1367. But you have to be very clear before you call. Before you call, sit down and write your name and address out very clearly, and even a phone number. And when you call, just read it, because what happens is people will call, and they'll give their name and maybe their street number, and they forget to tell us what state they're in or zip. But you just write it out first, and then just read it off, and make sure that we have the whole thing. And then, Joe. Do you know what I'm getting? What takes place every year around the 10th, 11th of March? We have Bring America Back to Life conference. It's the largest pro-life conference in the country now. And it's right by the radio station where we broadcast from. And in fact, it's going to be from the 10th. You're going to have speakers from all over the country there. Molly Smith, who comes on before me here on this flagship station, she always heads that up. And they're always a great, great conference there. I've opened up in prayer on a number of them. But you have speakers from across the country. And that's March 10th and 11th, Friday and Saturday, March 10th and 11th. And that's at the Bring America Back to Life conference. Now, you can go up on your internet to BringingAmericaBackToLife.org. That's BringingAmericaBackToLife.org. And all of that, all the speakers and everything will be up on the website. Or you can simply call 440-653-5245. That's 440-653-5245 for more information. That's the largest pro-life. Many years ago, I spoke a number of times at the National Pro-Life conferences. Usually it was held in Washington, D.C. And I'd have to travel all the way to Washington, D.C. Now I just drive right down the street from the radio station and I'm there, okay? And so...
Oh, they couldn't have made it any easier, could they?
No, it's right there. I'll tell you what else is right there, and that is... Tomorrow night, we stand up. We're really fighting back. Now, Joe, you know that there's about seven states that people that are, they're leaving the blue states. They're leaving the blue states, the communist-controlled states, like Minnesota, Massachusetts, New York, California. They're leaving those states, and they're coming to the red states. And one of those seven states that they're coming to is Ohio, right here in Ohio. In fact, it's gotten to the point where we're at, because we're a very high, very large Tea Party movement here in Ohio. We have a very strong Tea Party group. And we have a bitter enemies, NOACA, or NOWACI, if you will. These are the Agenda 21. These are very sinister, shady. And what they are, they're involved with the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organizations. They're deep state. Extremely, completely, totally corrupted. I mean... just there's nothing at all about them that is not corrupt. It's like Planned Parenthood. Well, like everything, like the entire Democratic Party, they're completely and totally corrupted. But we battle and we push them back because of the strength of the Tea Party. But because so many people from the blue states are coming here, you can hardly a house goes on the market. Joe, used to be a house would be on the market for 6 months. Today they barely last 6 hours.
Wow,
they're gone. And
they keep talking about how the housing market is bad. Most places people can't afford the loans, and it's slowing down. And sounds like you guys are blessed.
Well, we have a constitutional carry here. We have, like I said, a large Tea Party. We have constitutional counties here, and so that's some of the things that are bringing people in. They're tired of communism in Massachusetts and New York and New Jersey. They're tired of the communism. But anyhow, after I said all that, tomorrow night at the Tea Party meeting here in Chesterland, Ohio, at the Metzenbaum Center on Cedar Road, is on Cedar Road just west of Route 306, about a quarter mile west of Route 306 on Cedar Road. It's the Metzenbaum Center in Chesterland. We have our Tea Party meeting. I always open the Tea Party meeting up in prayer. I'm the official chaplain there. I was the president for four different terms, but leave that up to younger people nowadays. Anyhow, Tom Hatch is going to be speaking. Tom Hatch, and that's on, we're going to be talking about here, Ohio Network. And we're networking. Now, guess what's happening? The Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee is doing the very same thing. They're working together. And we have something like 80 different Christian organizations that are coming together. We're doing like what George Soros does. He comes up with all these communist organizations. And it looks like, you know, they're all really one of the same. But it looks like a majority, they got this majority of people are for evil, for wickedness, for abortion, for murder, for everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls an abominable sin. This is what the left does. Well, we're networking with Christian organizations, conservative organizations, and to gear up to fight the very good fight against the forces of darkness and evil. And so the meeting starts tomorrow at 6:30, and it goes until it's finished. And so, and like I said, I'm always there to open it in prayer nowadays. And so tomorrow we're going to have Tom Hatch. Tom Hatch is going to be speaking on networking in Ohio. So you folks out there, I would not miss it. I would come on out, run to the battle, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. And you know what? In fact, we want to hear a little clip from a fellow. There's a fellow named Victor Davis Hanson. You've heard of him, and let's hear from him.
History professor, and he is brilliant and conservative and Christian.
Well, let's hear from him.
I've recently written a piece called The Establishment is the Revolution. I thought this is a particularly brilliant piece. The Establishment is the Revolution. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, if you look at in the 60s, people were marching on the campus president's office to demand change. Now the campus president is the one that's suppressing free speech. Norman Mailer wrote a novel, Armies of the Night, that were going to march on the Pentagon for social change, etc. But the Pentagon's inaugurating, you know, everything from subsidized transgender surgeries to hunting out supposed white rage and white supremacy in the ranks on its own, by its own volition. I could go on, Mark, but I guess all the institutions themselves, whether it's Disney or American Airlines or where I work, Stanford University, they're agents of revolutionary change, and they have enormous wealth, power, reputations, influence. So it's a top-down woke revolution, the establishment against us, the people.
So the establishment, the words are almost contradictory, but it makes sense. The establishment is the revolution. In other words, these are the people who are upending our society. These are the people who are promoting, I'll call it, anti-white racism. These are the people who are stereotyping minorities. These are the people who have the borders open in the most outrageous immigration policies this nation has ever known. These are the people who reject capitalism and embrace socialism. These are the people who are brainwashing our children and going after the parents and going after pro-lifers. And they never had to raise a finger in violence, you're saying. They just do it.
They just do it. I mean, the last four directors in succession of the FBI have one thing in common. They've either misled Congress, or they've lied under oath to a federal investigator, or they've claimed amnesia. And when you look at Lois Lerner and the IRS, or you can look at, I mean, it reaches the level of absurdity. We have the Duchess of Sussex and Montecito lecturing us on white microaggressions against black people. And we've had this tragedy in Memphis. It was a horrible beating where five African-American officers in rogue fashion killed an innocent African-American. And yet the police chief is black. The assistant police chief is black. 60% of the force is black. Nearly 70% of Memphis is black. And yet we have Van Jones, a recent recipient of a $100 million Bezos Prize, lecturing America that this is proof of racism. So these are revolutionary ideas that come from the people who are very, very wealthy.
All righty, very good. Well, do you know, Joe, why? Do you understand when those five cops beat that black man to death and the police chief and they're all black? Do you know why, Joe, they say that it's racism?
Well, they say that the world is run by, white privilege, and that we set up the systems of government and everything. So anything that stems from anything that was done is a result of white privilege. So that's what they're saying.
Well, they're saying it's the white people that made the law and made the, this is what the communists are saying. And these aren't just black communists. These are the white communists, the real, the Soros and the others, that it's the white people made the law and the white people made the police force, and that's why they're responsible. You know,
we, the white people, established the country, made the government, made the, put in the Constitution, so it's racism no matter what. That's what they fall back on.
Well, stupid is as stupid does, huh?
Stupid does, yeah.
That's what's happening. Okay. We've got a bunch of things we want to get said tonight, so let's get some of them said. One of the things right off the bat here is treason. Waltz, Department of Defense told China spy balloon crossed the U.S. during the Trump years, but General Mattis did not tell Trump. He thought Trump was too aggressive. So Mad Dog Mattis, they say, did not tell Trump, but that's not what Mad Dog's saying. And here, let me just read it. Stuart Varney on Monday morning on Fox News Network. By the way, this is an article by Mike Waltz. Okay, Representative Mike Waltz. Representative Waltz says, current Pentagon officials briefed him over the weekend and said Chinese spy balloons crossed over Texas and Florida during the Trump years. That's a lie told by a liar. Now, that is a lie told by a liar. Waltz then dropped this bomb. Representative Waltz said that General Mattis was Secretary of Defense at the time and decided not to inform President Trump because the Pentagon thought Trump was too provocative and aggressive. Now, this is treason if true. Mattis puts the U.S. in danger and offered the comfort to the enemy, allowing Chinese spying on U.S. installations, and then hid this from his superiors, including the President of the United States. House Republicans must call on General Mattis to immediately testify under oath. This is also quite a statement, if true, since President Trump is the first U.S. president in over 40 years not to start a war. Now, here's a very interesting thing, because somebody that, now this representative, Mike Waltz, okay, I'm not sure how much, I don't know that much about him, so I don't know how credible he is, but I do know that John Ratcliffe is very credible. And John Ratcliffe was the director of the National Intelligence under President Trump, who is still the legitimate president of the United States because he never lost an election. He was taken down in a coup. On Saturday, the Biden regime admitted that China's spy balloon was the first spotted a week earlier in Alaska. Back on January 28th, flew from there into Canada and down into the continental U.S. On Tuesday, the balloon entered Idaho and crossed the U.S. border for the next 4 days. The Chinese spy balloon was then shot down after it left U.S. territory and collected all the data from the Chinese Communist Party. This was an unprecedented event in history. The fake news is hoping to convince Americans that these China spy balloons cross the U.S. all the time. In fact, the fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, PMSNBC, and NPR, that's the fake news media, folks, insisted that this happened during the Trump years. That is three times. That's a lie told by liars. That is a lie
told by liars. Well, here's the final proof of, you know, so to speak. They went and contacted the head general at NORAD, North American Defense Command, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said no balloons flew over this country before this one. And anybody would know it's North American Defense because they said they knew this balloon launch when it happened. They followed it not from the Aleutian Islands when it entered our airspace. They tracked it from when it rose above China and left China. They knew when it was launched. So if they knew when the balloon was launched, I guarantee if it had happened under Trump, NORAD would have known.
So absolutely.
I will believe the head of the North American Defense Command over anybody in the Biden administration.
Well, first of all, they would have never said it when Trump was in office.
They would have launched it.
they would not have launched it. That's exactly right. They knew better. Trump was an actual president. And here, what Biden has done, he's brought so much shame to America. So much shame. He is such a wicked man. He wants more and more abortion, more and more babies killed. He's like a Satanist. Biden is evil, bone deep. He is an evil man. I know the prissy preachers are saying that Pastor Uni, he's a mean man. He's not supposed to talk to that. See, what the prissy preachers don't understand is the Word of God. The Word of God makes it very clear. You do not respect wicked, evil people because that's a sin to call the wicked good and the evil good.
Yeah.
That's a sin to do that. But the prissy preachers, they're afraid. And most of them are effeminate, too. And so, anyhow.
Well, you brought up Friday night that this balloon was probably a dry run for an EMP attack. And when I first heard about it, that was about the first thing I thought of because for years we've been warning people our electric grid has not been hardened.
Trump tried to. He was in the process of hardening it. Trump was in the process of hardening the electric grid.
Trump was trying to set it up
When the coup took place.
We've been warning the people way back for years about this electromagnetic pulse and how an airburst shuts down all of the electronics in the country, throwing America into the dark ages. And quite a few of the intelligence people, Gordon Chang and others, experts on China, all came out and are saying that this was a test. And a lot of our foreign intelligence people, this was a test to see how the U.S. would react and what they do. And it was about putting fear in the American people, showing our weak leader. And it was. They said that the payload was the weight of two school buses. This was not some little thing, the weight of two school buses. Can you imagine what could have been carried in that kind of cargo? This was a gigantic balloon. That cargo, two school buses, that's an awful lot of weight to be carried by a balloon, right?
It is. But first of all, you have to understand something. You know, I have a little dog here at the house. His name's Scampers. That's his name. And when I call Scampers, he comes. And if I say, jump up here, Skeppers. He jumps right up there. And that's the way Joe Biden is with China. When China calls Joey, he does whatever their bidding is. He's done that to the tune of billions of dollars. And yep. That's just reality. Now, do you know how I know that? It's because the high Chinese officials have come out openly and laughed and mocked that they own the Biden family. They own the
people
Biden.
In the highest positions in American government. Gee, I wonder who that would be. And then the other is by Biden's actions. You know, the Bible says you judge by the fruit. Well, Biden, Kim's, has he been preaching? Climate change is a bigger threat to humanity than nuclear war. The climate is going to be our real problem. We've got people threatening a war with China to take over Taiwan, threatening World War III. The increase in the Ukrainian war with Russia, the world is scared to death that somebody's going to push a nuclear button, that we're going to be in World War III. But Biden's not worried about any of that. He's just worried about climate change. So right there, we know he's doing China's bidding, because where he's putting his attention, where he's putting the money and the resources, and what he's not looking at by what he's not doing tells us as much as what he does.
All righty. Also, I wanted to say that tomorrow night, too, Jim McNeil, who attends our church, he's one of my men, he is going to, from the Jog County Tea Party, he is going to make a presentation on the science of climate change, the absolute science of climate change tomorrow evening. That's tomorrow evening at 6:30. And so that'll be done, too. Joe, a lot of us people, you know, we've been under the impression that the Bronson case that went to the Supreme Court was dismissed. It was never dismissed. It was set aside. It was set aside for certain reasons. So we you know, found that out. And they've been working on and bringing it back now. They did not dismiss the case. That means that they're going to hear it now. But there, I think, you know, the courts, this case could mean a whole lot of very, very crooked Democrats are going to go to jail. And so here, they're asking you to continue to write those letters to the Supreme Court, because now there's two cases they've got coming up. But we're going to hear from the Brunsons themselves. When we come back, we're going to be going to a break here in a minute. When we come back from that break, we'll be hearing from the Brunsons themselves on that. And then, Joe, we saw something that was very satanic, ungodly, unholy at the Grammy performance. Unbelievable, the so-called presented by Pfizer. Nothing about Pfizer that is not corrupted, not dirty. And people need to tell you that when they offer you a shot, when they offer you the vax, tell them there's nothing. Say, you know what, you ought to know something, that there's nothing about Pfizer, nothing at all about Pfizer that is not dirty, that is not corrupt, that is not evil, that is not wicked. We'll be back right after this, and you'll hear from the Brunson case. Be right back. Don't go away.
Fight the fight. Take the stand. Light the light. We are led. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Amen. Let's
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 888-SHARE-19. That's 888-SHARE-19. 888-SHARE-19.